God himself, the
Lamb. Let's begin by reading from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Today we want to talk about the three significant promises God made to Abram and why they matter.
God will provide himself a lamb, the only sacrifice that sin demands, just as he proved to Abraham he would provide himself a lamb. Behold the Lamb, God himself the Lamb.
In our last lesson, we looked at the call of Abraham from the historical context of Genesis 11. We found him in a strange, distant, foreign, and idolatrous land, a land of the Babylonians. And God summoned him to leave that country and to come to a new place that would be shown to him. Stephen confirms this Genesis account in his great History of Israel sermon in Acts chapter 7. In verses 2 through 5, the Bible says that Stephen said, "Brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your country and from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you.' Then he came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from there, when his father was dead, he moved him to this land in which you now dwell. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not even enough to set his foot on, but even when Abraham had no child, he promised to give it to him for a possession and to his descendants after him." And the book of Hebrews adds this little note in Hebrews 11 and verse 8, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going." Try to put yourselves in the place of Abraham, if it's at all possible. You're living in the land of the Chaldeans, in a big metropolis, the city of Ur. Your family is wealthy and well-to-do, and seemingly everything is going all right in your life, when suddenly your foundation is rocked by the call of God. And not only did God call Abraham to leave Ur, he called him to go to a place he'd never heard of, a place where he had presumably never been in his entire life. In fact, God didn't even really tell him where he was going, but said, "I'll just show you the way and point it out to you when we get there." And so Abraham exemplified faith from the very moment he received a message from the Lord. He got up, he packed his extended family, and they began the journey in earnest. Now today, we want to highlight the first three chapters of the book of Genesis. And I want to tell you, these are some of the most important verses in the whole Bible. In fact, some scholars note that from this point onward, the rest of the entire Bible is about how God fulfilled the promises he made to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And I think that is right. Every book of the Bible seems to have one chapter that's the centrally most significant part of that book. Exodus 20 is when God delivers the Ten Commandments to Moses. Leviticus 16, which is the center part of the book, is about the great Day of Atonement feast. And so right here in Genesis 12, we have the apex, the hinge of the whole Bible, where God moves from the chaos of the ancient world to focusing his direction, love, and mercy upon one man and his family. And that's Abram. So let's look again at these three verses and try to draw out the three great promises that God declared He would bestow upon Abram. Verse 1, God said, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." Notice the progression there. Get out of your country. Well, that's the general territory, the land of the Chaldeans. From your father's house, he was to abandon the household of Terah, his extended family. From your family and then from your father's house, the scripture says. So he was to leave everything behind in order to go to this mystery land. And that's the first promise there in verse number 1, is that God had sworn to Abraham he would be giving him a land, a territory, a place where he, and we'll see in verse 2, his descendants could dwell and thrive on the earth. So land is number 1. Number 2 is from verse 2, "I will make you a great nation." Now, if you watched our last study, you remember that we pointed out one of the crisis verses at the end of Genesis 11. That was verse number 30, that said Sarai was barren. She had no child. That's Abram's wife. He was 75 years old at this time. She was 65. And at this time in their life, in fact, their whole married life together, they had never been able to have children. A barrenness in the Bible is always seen as a sad and pitiable condition. And so Sarai, her whole married life, was unable to do what all wives and desiring mothers want to do, to have children. So God promises Abram, "I will make you a great nation." Now this must have been extremely perplexing to Abram. How would God make this happen? But Abram didn't question the Lord on this occasion. He simply accepted it by faith. Warren Wiersbe says, "Faith is not based on feeling, though the emotions are certainly involved. True faith is based on the Word of God." God spoke to Abraham and told him what He would do for him and through him if he would trust and obey, end quote. And that's exactly right. So, land and a nation, that's the second promise. And then number 3 is in verse 3. "I'll bless those who bless you, curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now, I said a moment ago that from this point onward, for much of the Bible, God's focus is primarily, not exclusively, but primarily on Abraham and his descendants. And this is important that we understand what the Bible is saying here. God is saying, even though for now, My grace, My mercy, indeed My covenant will be through you and on your family, there is something I plan to do through you that will bring blessings to the whole world, to all the families of the earth. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes this promise in Galatians 3, verses 7 through 9. "Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, 'In you all the nations shall be blessed.' So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham." Paul says that this promise in Genesis 12, verse 3, was the gospel being preached to Abraham. Now, Abraham might not have fully understood how God was going to use him to be a blessing to the whole world, but he accepted it. He believed it by faith. He trusted that God's word was true and was willing to follow God wherever the Lord would lead him. This was the gospel. This was the good news of a coming Messiah who would bring blessings not just to the family of Abraham, but even to the Gentiles, those who were afar off, as Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. We see the significance of these verses when God entered into a covenant with Abraham. In future videos, we'll talk more about what covenants are and what they mean and what they entail. But for now, we'll just notice that a major part of a covenant, a contract between God and humans is promises. Promises are a major central component. And so God comes to Abram with these amazing, incredible promises. And God has made some incredible promises to us through Jesus Christ. And we thank Abraham for being a blessing maker and bringing the blessing to the whole world, the blessing of Jesus Christ.
Although Abraham could not understand how God in His great love could ask him for the only son he had. Yet when it seemed to him all hope was dim, his faith, this promise.